Hey guys, welcome back to That Canadian Podcast. I'm your host and That Canadian, Sam. It's Movie Monday, so that means I'm joined today by my lovely husband and co-host, Andrew.
Hey guys, what's up?
Today we're going to be reviewing the movie The Babysitter, Killer Queen. I always want to say Killer Queens, but it's Killer Queen.
Yeah.
I got to think of the Queen song.
Yeah.
Killer Queen. We already realized that in the last podcast, I'm not good at singing.
We're just going to retire that idea. Skip over that one.
So, The Babysitter, Killer Queen. I'm just going to call it Killer Queen. Yeah. I'm just going to call it Killer Queen.
Yeah. We all know what it means now.
You know what? To prevent further tongue-tiedness, the movie.
The movie.
Yeah, the movie.
In big, a big marquee, the movie.
The movie. The movie stars Judah Lewis as Cole, Samara Weaving as Bee, Jenna Ortega as Phoebe, and Emily Alin Lind as Melanie.
Speaking of tongue twisters.
Her mom must have not liked her.
Yeah, so like her, Emily, fine.
Yes, totally fine.
Normally, it's you know, it's Emily. Alin, middle name, A-L-Y-N.
Alin, that's a nice middle name on its own.
Yeah, and then her last name, L-I-N-D. Lind.
Nice middle name on it, or nice last name on its own.
Yeah, but put it all together, Emily Lynn Lind. Like,
it's a lot.
Emily Lynn Lind. We still like you. You are a very good actress.
We're not
trying to be rude to you. It's
not
just a tongue twister, and it's fun to say.
And we're easy to confuse, so.
Yeah, and we're easily distracted.
Oh my God.
If you have heard any of our other podcasts, you know this. If you haven't heard our other podcasts, go listen to them.
Yeah.
And, you know, you'll see that we're easily distracted.
Watch them.
As per our conversation right now, that has nothing to do with the movie.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, it's how we do.
Yeah.
So the movie was directed and written by McGee, but apparently there was a bunch of writers, like Dan Lagana?
Lagana.
Lagana.
Not lasagna. Lagana. We're just ripping apart people's names today.
I'm never good at pronouncing names. You know this.
Brad Morris. That's easy.
Jimmy Warden. That's easy.
Yeah. And then, obviously, like McG. You said, McG.
Yeah.
So, maybe not a bunch of other writers, but definitely more than just McG.
Yeah. A bunch of good writers. A collective amount of a good bunch. I don't know.
A collaboration.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. One thing that I would like to know is, what does, like, how did he get his name McGee? I think we talked about this in the last one. I can't remember.
Did.
But
yeah.
I wonder what it actually, like, what his actual last name is, what his actual first name is. I wonder.
Yeah. Like, how did he get, is it a nickname? Is it actually his last name? Or is his first name?
I don't think that
name
would actually be his last name, McGee. Like, that's.
No, not like, is it like the first three letters of his last name?
Oh.
Or is his name like, well, I was going to say Michael, but it's not M-C. I bet you it's like.
It is M-C.
No. Because Michael is M-I-C.
Oh, I see what you mean.
So it's probably like McGregory or something for a last name.
And or it could just be McG, but with two E's, and you just took off those E's because it's still technically the same thing.
Yeah, maybe.
Make it simple. Just make it easier to write. take like that less half second.
Okay, we're distracted again.
Yeah.
So do you want to tell me what the movie's about?
No.
Well, then tell them.
Oh, okay. So, the 2 years after the events of the first film, Cole is now a junior in high school. And actually, right off the bat, in our last review, like in the review of the first one, we said that Cole was like 12 or 13. Obviously, that's not correct.
No.
He had to have been like 16 because it was 2 years ago and now he's like 18 or 19. In real life, he actually is 19. He was born August of 95 or something. I can't remember. Anyways, he's like 19 years old.
It couldn't have been 95.
No, it was probably like 2001.
Yeah,
or 2000. No. Anyways.
He was born in a year that makes him 19.
Yeah. Math is fun. but, no, like, if he's 19 now, which he actually is, unless he's playing a younger person, but, like, in the movie, unless he's playing a younger person, I don't know if he's actually 19. But if he's a junior in high school, he wouldn't be 19. I don't know how high schools work.
Anyway.
Yeah, but I think that he was actually supposed to be like 15 or 16.
Yeah, in the first one. He just looked really young.
Yeah, and also because his dad was trying to teach him how to drive, and he didn't want to do it at all. Yeah, I totally forgot about that.
I didn't even take that into consideration when I was trying to guess his age.
Completely just forgot about that.
Right over my head.
As we were watching it, I was thinking, oh, he's 19. His dad was teaching him to drive. Why would he be 12?
Yeah.
I mean, like, my dad did that, but we lived in a small hick town, and I drove in the backwoods. I'm sure you did the same thing.
Yes.
But
I was in kindergarten when I drove home. Mom pressed the pedals. I steered the car.
Oh, okay. Well, that's not driving. I did that too.
I steered the car.
I did that too. I did that
at my aunt's farm. We actually did a lot of donuts and stuff in cars and driving around. That was fun.
Yeah. I did that in a tank. I got to drive a tank when I was a kid.
Same I drove idea. A bulldozer.
Oh, that's cool.
Same thing.
Yeah. Anyways. So in this, I'm pretty sure he's like 18-ish.
Okay.
Okay. So, for all you people that are like, oh, they got the age wrong. We're sorry. We didn't realize until now.
There wasn't anybody saying that.
Well, who knows?
Yeah.
Not any of you people that are listening now. It's the people that...
are in the future.
Are...
future listeners.
Yeah.
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 Future Karens. I mean.
Yeah. Anyways, so he's now a junior in high school, and he's unable to convince anyone except for his best friend, Melanie, who is played by Emily Alin Lind.
Yeah.
That the satanic cult led by his former babysitter, B, really tried to kill him.
And she never really showed that she was convinced it happened. Like, she knew that B was chasing them, but, like, they never... like, she never confirmed, yes, all these people, they're, like, because he asked her, he's like, oh, you saw all the bodies too, right? She never said yes
or
no. That is
true, yeah. So with that being said, after ditching school and heading to a beach party with Melanie, I was going to say Emily, he finds out that Melanie is actually part of a devil worship cult as well, and has to run and fight for his life.
Poor guy.
Again.
Poor guy.
Yeah.
I mean, here he is. He finally gets to make out with the girl that he had a crush on for so long.
Oh, yeah. 2 minutes in heaven.
2 minutes in heaven. Well, really, like, the amount of time they spent kissing was more like a minute, maybe a minute, 15 seconds, because they were talking. And
yeah.
Then she felt up his elbows.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that is, like, the most erotic thing.
Yeah. Elbows.
Weenus.
Yeah.
That's so the skin on your elbow. Don't get all... Oh my god!
Yeah, no, it's not. For those of you who didn't grow up in the 90s, your weenus is your elbow.
Yeah.
Elbow skin. Yeah.
And when people say, I'm gonna do things to your epidermis, that means your skin.
Yeah.
So.
Technically, your skin's an organ.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, that's the more you know.
Mm-hmm. Like I said in the last video, knowledge is power. Go, Joe!
I was waiting for it. I set you up and you took it.
I knocked it out of the park.
You knocked it out of the park. Okay, distracted again.
Yep.
I actually had some... oh, yes. Before we actually talk about the boat and all that stuff, let's, for a second, talk about the beginning part. Because I know that there's a couple things we noticed in... not the first scene, but in the first scene at Cole's house.
Okay.
I think.
Yes. When he has the nightmare.
Yes. Well, okay, so let's talk about school first, because it starts in school, right?
No, it starts in him in
oh, does it?
Yeah, it's like one of the very first scenes.
Because
he wakes up from his nightmare in the morning and then goes to get a drink.
Actually, so, I'm going to talk about it, because I noticed it.
Yeah, that's right. You did notice it.
And I'm actually getting better at noticing things.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, in the scene, Cole goes to the fridge to get a glass of milk, and he's pouring this glass of milk, and it's just all you see in the shot is the countertop, the glass obviously, and the milk pouring into it, and then a blurred background of a fridge and Cole pouring it, right? Like, you only mm-hmm. see
it's focused on the glass and the carton.
Yeah, it's a very tight angle of
toit
like a
toit anger.
Anger.
Anger. Angle. Toit angle.
Anyway. So, you know, they're focusing on this glass of milk. And then he finishes pouring it, turns around. And as he's turning around to put the carton of milk back into the fridge, the milk turns into this, like, bloody, disgusting glass of blood.
Okay? Yeah.
So then he turns back around. Oh, my God. And then he, like, falls back and does that spider crawl backwards because he's so scared. In that shot, you can see the milk carton that he just put away in... the fridge to turn his back.
Yeah, on the counter.
Yeah, it was on the counter.
And then his dad, like, as he's backing up, he runs into his dad sort of thing, and he's like, dad's like, oh, are you okay? And then he looks back at the counter, and the carton is gone again.
And so when he backed up into his dad, he, like, Cole was on the floor, and he bumped into his dad's legs, and then his dad was kind of looking down on him, and then Cole looked at the counter, milk was gone, looked back up, and it was the guy he hung, the shirtless guy. Max, yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Shirtless Joe.
Sure.
He wouldn't get served at any establishment.
He would not, but apparently he can work at one.
Yeah, with no shirt.
Yeah.
With a name tag.
Name tag just pinned through his skin.
Yeah.
Through his epidermis.
Yeah. bringing it back around.
Yeah.
Crisscross. Okay, so... Next, he's in school. He's upped his ante with the whole nerdy, awkward kid.
Corduroy.
Before, in the first one, if you listen to the first one, or if you've even seen the first movie, you know he wears a corduroy pants. Okay?
Yeah.
Button-up shirt. I think he wore a tie in it. I can't remember.
No tie, but a vest, I think.
No. He didn't wear a tie or vest. He had his top button undone, and then he had the pins.
Right.
In this movie, he's got the corduroy pants. He's got the dress shoes. He's got a corduroy vest. Don't even know where you get a corduroy vest. Okay?
Goodwill.
No idea. Goodwill, maybe. Yeah. Maybe he made it. Who knows? Then he's got a corduroy blazer. The teacher style, where he's got like the suede elbow pads. And then he's wearing a tie, and actually he didn't have any pins. Oh no, he didn't have any pins. I was going to say he had a pin on the knot of his tie, but it was actually just what was on the tie.
Yeah.
Anyway, so he's upped his ante with the whole nerdy, awkward teen thing. So he's in his, he's talking to his guidance counselor about everything. Or, I don't know if it's a guidance counselor or a therapist.
Well, he said he was a guidance counselor before 8 and then a nurse after 8.
Oh, that is true.
Angel 2 or whatever. So, he's a cool dude.
Oh, man, he was like swearing and just like, he was so funny.
He was really funny.
He was really good.
Yeah.
And the thing that was kind of confusing to me, I didn't actually write this down, you just reminded me of it. He's a guidance counselor until 8. School, at the earliest I've ever been to school, was 7:45 that it started. Okay? Why would school start earlier than that? And if it did... It's not going to start at like 6 or 6:30.
Well, it's not that it's going to start at that time, but maybe students who need to talk to a guidance counselor will go in early when it's not as busy in the school.
Maybe.
For like privacy reasons, maybe.
Maybe. But I mean, like realistically, he should be the guidance counselor until like 12.
Yeah.
And then like the first half of the day, and then the nurse or whatever the second half of the day.
Or
like,
maybe. Like
8, like especially if he has a lot of kids.
Maybe because it's a vaccination day, he can only do it till 8 and then... Once vaccinations are done, he's doing it later.
Oh, that is true.
That's a possibility.
Yeah. Speaking of vaccinations, Cole had to get his vaccination, and he is still scared to death.
Yeah. But this time, the guy was creative on how he did it.
Yeah, he just tackled him. Stabs him with the needle. I didn't even know where I was going with this initially.
I have no idea. Apparently, I've reminded you of something.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Oh, yes. Oh. So, he's talking about... how, like, nobody believes... He's talking to the counselor about how nobody believes him.
Yeah.
Okay. What?
The counselor says he needs to get laid.
Oh, yeah. He needs to get laid, yeah. And then later on in the movie, after he gets laid.
Yeah.
Okay. So the thing that you actually brought up, which I thought was a very good point, is how nobody believes him.
Yeah.
Because even if...
Oh, yeah. I did. Okay, yeah. I remember.
Even if the devil cleaned up his mess and like...
Okay, so here's the theory before he jumps into it.
Okay.
My complaint was... If nobody believes him that all these events took place, there's still people missing. There's the cheerleader, the shirtless guy, the dude who, what was his name?
John.
The dude who got stabbed in the face or in the head twice. B, although she could have just been a random person, but there's these people.
There's
six teenagers. And then there was Sonya. There's these teenagers who just randomly disappeared. Mm-hmm. Then there's these two police officers that just randomly disappeared.
And their cruiser.
So what I had said was, it doesn't make sense that... Well, Andrew brought up, how could they not believe him? Because where did the bodies go? How did the bodies just disappear? And we thought that this was like a plot hole. And then while we were watching this second movie... there was the point where the two dudes just kind of evaporated.
Yeah, they just spontaneously combusted.
Yeah, and then the coals or whatever that they combusted into just disappeared. Yeah. And so that made me think, well, maybe the devil like cleaned up the bodies because he doesn't want his secret to be whatever, right?
Yeah, his plan to get ruined.
Yeah, but still, there's the families of the missing people, mm-hmm. the families of the police officers, the police station missing a cruiser that B took care of. Mm-hmm. Like, how did nobody believe him when there's eight
evidence, especially because he was like,
there's eight missing
people. Like, he said that he probably told them their names and all this stuff.
Yeah.
How was there no investigation?
Yeah.
How did the family not, like, the family of those teenagers not come forward and be like, hey, my kid is missing.
Yeah.
You know? And they'd be like, hey, that's the same kid that this guy was talking about. Maybe they...
Yeah.
Did do it. You know, who knows?
So that was a huge plot hole for me.
Yeah.
There should have been some more explanation.
Definitely. Definitely should have been.
I mean, I know that movies kind of just work things to make it happen. Mm-hmm. But at the same time...
Like, if...
That's a big...
That's a big plot hole. And that's a big part of the movie is that nobody believes them.
Yeah.
So, like, they need to address that.
Yeah.
Like, or they should have...
They just kind of skimmed over
it. Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
I'm sorry. I kind of took that away from you.
That's okay. No worries. I know you were on a roll, so...
I went off on a little tangent that was actually related to the podcast.
So it wasn't really a tangent.
It was like a...
It was thievery. Well, I'm just joking.
Yes. All right. Well, continue with your next...
All right. So let's get into the acting.
Okay.
What did you think of the acting?
I enjoy the acting. I think, well, there's nothing that I can think of that I didn't like in terms of acting. I really enjoyed the lady balls, as I said in the YouTube video that Phoebe has to just her introduction of her own introduction that she gave to the class.
Yeah,
and then just being, to scream at the end, like, you go, girl. Like, I wish I had that kind of lady balls when I was in high school, let alone now at 30.
I'm just so happy I could scream. Oh, my God.
And she's like, and I'm late.
Yeah.
What do you mean you're on time? Oh, my period.
I'm 9 days late. I think, looking at your faces, I'm going to keep it. What?
Wow.
Who is this girl?
I love her. I love Phoebe. She's like a badass. She's a badass version of Phoebe.
Well, Phoebe was pretty badass.
Well, she was badass, but she's like, this is what I imagine Phoebe to have been in high school, but just a little less intense.
Yeah, and if Phoebe did go to high school.
And if Phoebe did go to high school, yeah.
If she wasn't stabbing a cop. If you haven't seen that episode. She doesn't actually stab a cop in the episode. She explains it.
Yeah. But anyway.
He stabbed me first!
Yeah.
Okay. So, I thought the acting was great as well. I loved the parents in this.
Oh, yeah.
Just like in the first one.
Did you take pot?
Are you taking pot right now? What? And I like how the dad of Melanie, Melanie's dad, he was like a lot, like, he was more interested, like, even though they were missing, he was more interested in his car because she took his car,
right? And he didn't even care that much about the car. He was more concerned about Halo and smoking pot.
Yeah, that is true. Yeah. they're just like, the dads got high together while they're waiting for the kids to call or whatever. Like, it's, oh man.
And Cole's dad was like, well, technically, if I don't touch it, I'm just breathing in second.
Yeah. So really, his dad's holding the bong for him and doing everything. And he's just like.
And then did it a lot. And, Melanie's dad was like, what, are you going on tour?
Yeah. Then, so I thought they were great. I love how the parents played kind of a bigger role in this.
Mm-hmm.
And because in the last one, like, they were hilarious. And then they were just gone until the end of the movie, right? And this one, they were like, actually, they played a role in it. The mom, not so much. She was more on the phone than actually on the TV. But, like, they were hilarious.
You know what I find, though? Melanie's dad's appearance did a complete 180. Because before he was like that, like...
trying to be cool.
I'm going
to
say, like, T-Birds, just so everybody knows what I'm talking about. Where they, like, take the thing and his hair was slicked back and he had the car and he had the leather jacket.
Yeah.
And then Cole wrecked his car. He looked
like John Travolta from
Grease. Yes, thank you. And in this movie, he had the long hair. He was, like, a surfer dude. He had that accent. He's like a
weird hippie surfer.
Yeah, and he had, like, the flames on the car, and he talked different. Like, I honestly thought it was a different actor. Is it a different actor?
I'm pretty sure it is a different actor.
You talk about other things, and I'm going to Google it.
Okay. Yeah, I'm pretty sure that they brought the parents back for the second one and gave them more screen time because they did such a good job in the first one.
What about the other people? Like, the people, what's her name? Melanie's boyfriend.
I can't remember. Oh, jeez. Yeah.
And then there was, what did they call her? Bum Bump? Or?
Oh, yeah. The two friends Bum-bump? That,
yeah.
The two, like, his.
The sacrifice and then the friend who was in on the, yeah.
Yeah. They were pretty good. They, so Melanie's boyfriend. I don't know if you guys haven't seen the SNL skit, the Saturday Night Live skit called The Californians. I would highly suggest watching that because one, it's hilarious, and two, that's exactly how Melanie's boyfriend talked, and it was, it was funny, but it was just like, this guy is just
he really
dumb.
Well, at one point, John was like, instead of lifting those weights, you should lift a book
and
read it.
It's so dumb, but he's like, hey guys, I can't even talk right here, I'm not even going to try, but it was bad, just watch the movie. So, and yeah,
Chris Wilde played her, quote unquote from IMDb, Melanie's annoying dad.
That was from the first one?
Yeah, and I'm just going to look up the second one now. Continue.
And obviously, like, Max, John, Allison, and Sonia, they come back and they're all really good. Man. Allison, the cheerleader, hilarious.
Oh, like, poor dear, got shot in the boob again.
Again, same poor, boob, same spot.
Oh, poor girl.
And like ricochets off a rock, hits her in the boob. She's like, son of a bitch!
Yeah. Poor girl.
Yeah. And then the way that she gets killed, oh man, she's like, her head is stuck between the rocks and they just pull her down and her head rips off. It was brutal. But yeah, her and her entrance, when like they're all making an entrance onto the boat.
Mm-hmm.
She, like, comes in through the window and, like, falls down and stuff. It's so awkward.
I can't find it.
That's fine.
Oh, Juan. Chris Wilde. Yeah, same guy.
It is?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
It's the same guy. His actual name is Juan. Oh, yeah, because John said, oh, you're the Spanish version of me.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I didn't even realize that.
So it is the same guy, though, but completely different.
Yeah, he looks like, completely different.
I thought he was a completely different person.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Weird.
But, Sonia. Sonia comes there with her freaking cookies.
Badass, that girl.
Oh yeah, she's like the flamethrower and stuff.
Man, and she does that death cry as she's like spraying the car with the flamethrower, and then her head gets chopped off by a surfboard.
Yeah.
Wow,
it's nuts. So what were you gonna say about Juan?
Oh, he looked like a different character. Or not character, just completely different. Oh, I know what I was going to say. That's the magic of wardrobe.
Mm-hmm.
Hair and makeup.
Yep.
Which
wardrobe, hair, and makeup.
Perfect segue into the next thing I'd like to talk about.
Oh.
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 Okay.
Okay. All right. All right, let's just stop this. What are you going to say?
We're actually like this in real life. This is not a show we're putting on. Ask any of our family or friends, and we're this weird too.
Yeah, all the time.
Always.
All the time, always.
What's that from?
Mad TV.
Okay.
Something Persian tow truck man.
Oh, yes. I remember him. I can picture him. He's the guy who played Stuart.
Yeah.
Look what I can do.
Yeah.
huge distraction there. But let's... Wardrobe.
The depressed Persian tow truck man. That's what it is. Okay. Go ahead. Wardrobe. Sorry, I had to get it out.
That's okay. So, obviously there was gore. It wouldn't be a babysitter genre movie if there was no gore. I said in the YouTube video that it looked like at one point somebody just took a bucket full of blood and like threw it in someone's face. And it was that scene where they were in the cabin.
Yeah, and the two dads were there trying to get the kids out of the basement.
Yeah. But Cole's dad was already gone.
Already gone?
Yeah, like he already left to chase after Cole. And Melanie was there with her dad. And I think that's when she killed... No, that was when... It was when John got the
antler thing.
And it fell chandelier. Down and went right through his face, and that's when the bucket of blood literally splashed into,
it was insane. It was like, if someone
bucket challenge?
Yeah.
That, but from the bottom.
Yeah, with blood.
Yeah.
Not ice, because that would, I don't know, I would assume that would hurt. Yeah. Anyways, so it was insane. It was like the cameraman was there, and then directly under the camera was a guy with like a big bucket of blood.
Yeah.
And they were like
action. a five gallon pail of blood.
five gallon
pail of blood.
So, the director calls action, and the guy's like, yeah, and just like covers Juan with blood.
Yeah.
It was like crazy.
It was crazy.
And when we say, oh, that's what it looked like because there was a lot of blood. No, there was like actually this wave.
It had to have been. We don't know for sure if that's what they did, but it looks like that is what they did from our perspective.
Yeah, it looks like when you throw a bucket of water on somebody and it's just like, it makes that wave and then it kind of breaks apart.
Yeah.
That's exactly what it looked like.
Yeah.
So like, the amount of blood and gore in this movie, if you thought the first one was bad.
Gory?
Oh, that you're scene, in for a treat.
That scene where Allison is like stuck between the rocks and they're like trying to pull her down.
Yeah, and they pull her head off.
Her head gets ripped off, the skin rip it. Oh, that was some good shit. That was good.
Yeah, that was good gore.
Yeah.
There was definitely a lot. There was gallons of blood in that one.
Gallons of blood.
Gallons.
Yeah.
That's right.
Not it's gallons. Gonna be a thing now, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay. And then the wardrobe was also really good. I mentioned this in the video as well, that Cole and Melanie had like a very 70s, well, I'd say like late 60s, early 70s. I'm not quite a fashion person, so I don't really know. I mean, I wear t-shirts and sweatpants or jeans, you know, like I'm not fashionable, but it just, it looks like,
hey, that's fashionable.
It's, I guess it's a type of statement. I don't know. It had that aesthetic.
Yeah.
And Cole had the more like nerdy teacher version, only because he added a tie to his wardrobe and a corduroy vest and corduroy blazer with suede elbow patches.
Mm-hmm.
And Melanie was, I mean, she went through puberty or whatever, so her tatas were hanging out a lot of the time.
Oh my god, yeah.
Yeah, and then...
like, at school, no, because she had that white shirt with the vest over top of it that was all flowy.
Yeah,
but then once she got to the beach...
as soon as they left the school...
Tatas were out.
They were out. And same with that chick at the gas station when Cole was trying to make...
oh my god, yeah.
He was trying not to look at it.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, you want the condoms? I saw you looking at the condoms. Magnum XL.
Yeah, those are our best sellers. Well, who?
Speaking of that scene, okay.
Yeah.
We'll go back to wardrobe after this.
I know where you're going with this.
Who? What kind of people? Okay. This. If.
Who?
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 Okay. If I were Cole, I would have been freaking pissed, okay? Yeah. Because this, like, it really grinds my gears when people like this just take all the shit that they want from the store and then walk the fuck out.
Yeah, and they're then like, oh, Cole, yeah, you're paying.
Yeah, and Cole got silly string and condoms and it was like $100.
Yeah.
It's like, what?
Those condoms better be amazing.
Who does that?
Yeah.
Who?
Who? Who?
Anyways, wardrobe.
Yeah. Do we have owls in here?
Who?
Who?
Wardrobe. So we talked about Melanie and Cole. Phoebe is very 90s grunge. She has that faux hawk going with all the ponytails and braids and stuff.
Yeah,
and
then, she had like 18 ponytails on her head.
Yeah.
That were like...
she spent a lot of time on
her. Oh, God, yeah. If you remember Spice Girls, you know when Scary Spice has those like little mountain-looking things on her head?
Buns.
Like the buns, but they were like long and almost like beehive shape?
Yeah, yeah.
That's what Phoebe looked like.
Yeah.
She had like a bunch of those on her head. So it was like, it started off as like this little ponytail and she like wrapped them all up. So she had like a bunch of little buns on her head.
Oh, on the first day of school. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Even when, the first day of school was the same day as the,
when she was first introduced.
Yeah.
But then when she went to the beach, she had that's when she had the faux hawk, and there was like, it was a different hairstyle when she got to the beach. But speaking of the beach, straying away from the wardrobe again, she arrives, she hops out of this transport truck cab.
Yeah.
She just walks straight towards the dock, right down the dock. There's a dude holding a Sea-Doo. She just walks right onto the Sea-Doo. He lets go and she takes off. Like, did she plan him to be there?
Maybe, because I mean, she found that rabbit in her locker. Plan was to go to that cabin.
But how would he have known that she was the one who was, because there was hundreds of people there.
Oh my God.
So how would he have known, oh, this is the girl who, if she really did set it up.
Who knows?
Yeah.
Movie magic, I guess.
Yes.
Movie knowledge. They're like, hey, this is the correct address. This is the correct actress. I'm going to let go.
I've always wanted to be an address. So anyways, 90s grunge. She had a bunch of ponytails. She had plastic woven choker that I think every single girl had at one point or another. I used to have black ones, blue ones, red ones, rainbow ones, clear ones. There was a lot. She also had the 90s aesthetic where she wore a t-shirt, like a longer, like either like a, what do you call
it? I think it was just mid-length? Long sleeve.
Okay, it was a long sleeve shirt with a spaghetti strap over top.
It's weird. I've never seen that before.
Really?
Yeah.
Have you watched Buffy?
Oh yeah, I guess so, eh?
Yeah.
I never really thought about it.
Yeah. That's pretty much all Willow wore for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then she also wore like baggy. No, she didn't wear baggy pants.
They weren't baggy, but they weren't tight. They were like baggy-ish. So like for like a girl that age to not be wearing like skin-tight pants, if they're a little bit baggier, then it's baggy-ish, right?
They're being like tighter at the knees.
I looked at the picture of it on IMDb, and they were like the kind of pants that like a straight leg.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you know? I get that. Okay. I see what you're talking about in my mind's eye.
Picking up what I'm putting down?
Yes, sir.
So the graphics in this movie, just like in the first movie, were great. I love them.
They were good.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed them.
We welcomed them with open arms.
Yeah, to quote yourself.
To quote myself, yeah.
They were just... So the graphics in almost every scene was really good. Except for the scene where they tried to duplicate Mortal Kombat.
Or Street Fighter or whatever.
Whatever.
And then
Phoebe does the whole... I think her name was Sonya in Mortal Kombat with the fire in the hands.
I have no idea.
I can't remember her name, but...
But she like waves her arms around and then there's fireballs
and then like, she throws them. Like, I'm...
Like yeah, her and Melanie are like they're flipping around the screen and like kicking each other in midair. Like, why? I don't... Like, that was the stupidest part of that movie.
Yeah.
I think with like, I don't
that's
understand.
That's the one I liked the least.
Yeah. I don't understand why they put that in. Like, yeah, you put the graphics in because it's, you know, it's... I don't even know why they put the graphics in. I liked it.
The graphics made it better. Made it tolerable. But the fight scene itself...
Not tolerable. The movie was good.
I mean the graphics of that scene.
Oh, I see what you mean.
Made that scene more tolerable. But there's already so much gore in the movie. Why not just give us like an actually good fight, not this stupid attempt at being a Mortal Kombat? Like, it just, to me, like, I get that they're trying to do like the next big bad thing and, you know, she's...
Oh yeah, because Melanie is the new big bad, and
but at it didn't do it for me.
Yeah, it was really
out of place.
Definitely out of place. Yeah. I don't know why they did it, but if you've seen it, you know exactly what we're talking about. If you haven't seen it, I would highly suggest just fast forwarding over that part.
Yeah, and if you have seen it and you liked it, leave us a comment on thatcanadianpodcast.ca for this episode and tell us why you liked it. Change our mind.
Yeah.
Taking away from that scene, like, let's pretend that didn't ever exist.
Oh, I do every day.
The gore, like I said, was good. The Quentin Tarantino style gore was amazing.
Oh yeah.
There was that two scenes where Allison, the cheerleader,
yep,
shot a bunny and it just
blew up. She wasn't like, she had a Desert Eagle.
Yeah.
Just blew up. Yeah. Same thing with the deer.
Yeah, and the deer like completely just evaporated except for its legs. And its legs were standing
up. I was only expecting the whole thing to go, and then the legs are just standing there. They don't even fall over, they're just there.
Yeah. The hell? Oh, and then there was that creep. that creepy guy. He's like, oh yeah, I'm just waiting for my wife. She's getting firewood. And then
Phoebe like sits down with him.
Yeah, and then he's like, oh, she hasn't been back in 10 years.
Yeah, and then he won't literally even. Yeah. But Cole popping out like
from that underneath. That was amazing.
Yeah, from underneath the.
Oh my God, you're making s'mores. I love s'mores. You know, the best ratio of s'mores to of chocolate to marshmallows is when you cook it like this, and then blah, blah, blah.
And then, s'mores are amazing.
Yeah, and he does like the hand thing.
Yeah.
Like and then like you last time when, what did you say? The last podcast. You were talking trivial? You did that hand thing?
Yeah.
Just like what he did in the movie, if you guys wanted a mental picture of what he looked like.
Anyways.
so bad with the tangents.
Okay. Yeah. So overall, what did you think?
I liked it.
Mm-hmm.
I did not like it as much as the first. And that's
definitely
easy to say.
Yeah.
Not to say that I didn't like it or that it was bad. It just didn't live up to the standards of the first one.
Yeah.
That being said, it was still funny. It was still gory. Maybe I didn't like it as much because of that one scene, but also because I had already, like, I wasn't expecting that when I saw the first one. Like, mm-hmm. that type of gore, that type of comedy, that type of action happening in the movie.
Yeah.
But because I saw the first one going into the second, I knew what to expect, and maybe that took away from it a little bit.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. I don't know.
It's not quite one of those sequels that ruins the first one. Because no. There are sequels that, like, you watch them, and then it makes the worst. Somehow it makes the first one worse.
Yeah.
Like, Boondock Saints. I heard, like, the first one, Boondock Saints, you didn't like it for some reason.
Is that the one with the guy who played that guy on Walking Dead?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He plays,
I didn't hate it. I just didn't love it.
They throw the toilet off the off
yeah,
the
roof. I didn't hate it. I just didn't love it.
Yeah. See, I love that movie. I thought it was great.
Yeah.
And there's people that I know that love that movie as well, and they saw the second one, and they're like, the second one is terrible, and it just makes the first one worse, and they never watch the first one again.
Huh.
And this sequel isn't like that. No. It's not bad in that sense.
I would still happily watch both again.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But it definitely does not live up to the first one.
And if you watch the post-credit scenes, there is a small post-credit scene.
Oh, mid-credit.
Mid-credit?
Yeah.
Well, a mid-credit scene.
Mid-credit scene.
You and your technicalities. Credit. There was a mid-credit scene, and it was very short, but it gave a hint or a indication
mm-hmm.
that there could be a third movie.
Yeah.
And I hope. Now, the first movie was really, really good.
Yeah.
And then the second movie was really good. You know, like one less really.
Yeah.
I don't want the third movie to be, that was good.
Yeah,
I want it to be at least really good.
Yeah.
At least.
Yeah.
I'm hoping it's as good or better than the first one.
Mm-hmm. And it's funny because when we first watched the movie, I didn't even notice that part. That
me neither.
Made me think of the mid-credit.
Yeah.
And then watching this, you see the devil's book thing.
Yeah, when B is dissolving.
Yeah, when B is dissolving. It falls to the ground. Which, and
it was so nice to see B again. And the whole, like, how B tied into the story with Phoebe and how she set everything up. And she just loved them so much. And she's like, you changed me that night. And then it cut to Cole being like, I loved you. Not gonna lie, I totally had a tear in my eye. Like, I was like, oh my God.
He, like, totally changed her outcome, her outlook when he said that he loved her.
I thought that was so sweet.
That
and
was
B
really sweet.
Sold her soul to save Phoebe.
Yeah.
Like, come on.
Yeah.
That is just, I have goosebumps.
Anyways, so as she's dissolving, you see the devil's book hit the sand, and I thought it was just going to, like, burst into flames or dissolve or something.
But they focused on it for a while,
and
that was
weird. Yeah,
they focused
on, like, a solid 5 seconds.
And it got kind of covered in sand,
yeah.
But it didn't really.
And then it just goes back to normal. Like, goes back to B.
B disappeared.
Yeah, no, I mean, like, it goes back to, like, as she's dissolving, it drops down and then goes back to her and she's still
alone.
Oh,
yes. Yeah, right? Okay.
And so I was thinking to myself, I'm like, ooh, I'm going to check the end credits to see if maybe there's something. Because, like I said, we didn't notice that last time. So I was like, well, because normally, like, if you don't notice something like that or you're not expecting a mid-credit scene, you just stop the movie at the credits, right?
Right.
So we, like, I was like,
so that's our gift to you. Go check out the mid-credit scene.
Yeah. And it's not big.
No,
by
it's
any
very
means,
small.
But
it's
definitely.
It's enough to make you think there's going to be another.
Yeah, it leaves it open for a third.
Yeah.
So that was pretty cool.
And we forgot to talk about this in the movie, or in our YouTube video. And
we weren't in the movie, silly.
We forgot to talk about it in the YouTube video.
Oh.
Yeah. But we just kind of, and we also forgot to look at the time, but I'm pretty sure at the end of the movie, Cole was like, wait, you saw that? He's like, yeah, the babysitter dissolved. And that's when they said the babysitter. I'm pretty sure the babysitter.
Yeah.
Because throughout the movie, Cole was like, I don't need a babysitter, or what are you, my babysitter?
Yeah.
Something like that. And then at the end, I think, is when the dad said, the babysitter, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm pretty sure that's when they said it.
So yeah, like we said, overall, it was a good movie. It definitely wasn't as good as the first, but it was still good.
The ending was good.
The ending was definitely really good.
Yeah.
However, like we said, the movie did have
some plot holes.
A lot of plot holes. Mm-hmm. Or it didn't answer questions from the first one, and there was a lot of like why is this happening sort of moments, you know? Yeah. The fight scene, mainly. But there was other more important parts that were like, why?
8 missing characters that nobody
questions.
Nobody believed Cole, yet there's 8 missing lives.
Yeah.
Whatever. So I know there were some things that you thought could have been done better or differently.
Yes.
Aside from like the plot holes and whatever we were just talking about.
Mm-hmm. So
care to share?
Oh, I will. Just let me look at my notes. Oh, there's the note I need. Thanks.
You're welcome.
So, 2 of the scenes, okay? The first one, Cole jumps on the jet ski.
Right.
After Phoebe shows up to their boat in the middle of all the killing, mm-hmm, and asks for gas, and then Cole,
that was funny.
Yeah.
Clearly you guys are in a serious cosplay.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go. Nobody chases after her.
No, they just look at her, and then Cole jumps onto the jet ski and they go away.
That was pretty convenient.
Yeah.
Pretty darn convenient that he ran, or not ran, but like when he was on the top, he just slid down on the thing and landed perfectly on the jet ski that was perfectly placed in the water by the boat, and then they just took off.
Yeah.
Perfect.
That was perfect.
Yeah.
How convenient.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways.
Shot.
So they take off. And they park the jet ski wherever. Oh, and Max ends up shooting the jet ski with the harpoon.
Harpoon, yeah.
And pierces the gas tank, mm-hmm, right? So it leaves a trail of where they are with gas in the water.
Gasolina.
Yeah. With some gasolina. Anyways, I'm not going to sing that song. That's
it. It's already stuck in my head. We're going to have to listen to it later.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Anyways, so they park this jet ski, get off, and run up this hill, and they're like, they were standing there for like 5 minutes.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, one, your captors that you're running away from are on a boat as well.
Yeah.
They can follow you.
It's a houseboat.
It's a houseboat, yeah.
But they can still follow you.
But they can still follow you.
Yeah.
Especially because there's that trail,
right? I don't think they knew that was there, though.
The trail? Yes, I know.
Yeah.
But still, they can still follow.
Yeah, true.
Even though it's foggy as hell.
They see the general direction that they went in.
Yeah. Even though it's foggy as hell,
mm-hmm,
like in the first movie, unexplained fog.
Which I believe you said is necessary for any good movie that's a horror movie.
Yes, I guess so. But I mean, on the water, I don't know. It was just...
I mean, that makes more sense because the heat from the water and the heat from the day, the different the changes in temperature, it's going to be science.
Yeah. Bill Nye the Science Guy, if you're listening, please answer this question.
Oh, that'd be so cool to have him on this podcast. Bill.
Anyways. Wow, there's a lot of anyways in this.
Yeah. 2 shots there.
Yeah.
A third. Continue.
So they pull off and get off the jet ski. They're waiting there for like 5 minutes.
Chatting.
Just...
Well, Cole explained to her the situation that was going on. So they had a necessary conversation.
I guess, yeah. But realistically, they were like 10 feet away from the jet ski.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
On the land, but...
You can talk while you're walking.
Yeah, exactly. Like, if you're going to park the jet ski there, get the hell out of there.
Yeah.
Especially if there's people trying to kill you.
Yeah. Well, you know? It wasn't as bad as when they left the boat.
Oh, yeah.
Because at least there was no lights on the jet ski.
Oh, my God. Okay. So, they left the jet ski. Melanie lights the gas trail on fire. Jet ski blows up. And they know exactly where Cole and Phoebe are because of the fire.
Yeah.
Okay? Next scene I'm talking about, they steal this boat, this speedboat that has, like, the wakeboard rack thing on it.
And the code to this is 8675309.
Which is pretty convenient. Like not convenient, but like, what are the odds that it would be 8675309? And why would they think of that song?
Something about Jenny, and then what, not John, Max said. He's like, oh, whatever band name, and then.
Oh, and yes.
And that was like, oh, yeah. 8675309. Yeah, okay. Yeah. And then they got it, and then they took off.
So this boat has this rack with four floodlights on the back.
It's like a nice facing rack. Backward.
Yeah, it's a real nice rack. Some real nice headlights on there.
Okay, continue.
Oh, those high beams.
Okay, stop. Continue.
So they got these floodlights so facing backwards, and I don't know why. Like, why the floodlights could be facing backwards. But I digress. They take this boat, and they fly. They drive to this dock where Phoebe's parents' cabin is.
Before we get to that point, though, let's talk about Max's death while they're on the boat.
So Max gets sucked underneath the boat as he's trying to climb onto it. They push him off or throw something.
Yeah, because he was on one of those, like...
He was on a tube, inner tube.
Inner tube, yeah.
Yeah, and he's pulling himself in through the rope.
Yeah.
And he gets on and they somehow knock him off. I can't remember. But
Silly string to the face. Flammable. And his face had no burns.
Yeah. Which, I mean...
I mean, it probably wasn't long enough, like, on his face long enough to be, like, a third degree burn.
There was nothing on his face. He looked like his face was never on fire,
yeah, his shirt should have at least been red. Or his shirt.
I'm looking he doesn't at, wear a shirt, silly.
I'm looking at your shirt. Yeah. His face should have been as red as your shirt.
Yeah. But, yeah, nothing. And then he, his leg gets chopped up by the, propeller. And then he, Cole puts it in reverse and... It like backs into his face.
Yeah.
Max. Backs into Max's face. Chews his face up.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, I don't know.
Which is realistic.
Which, yeah, that would definitely happen.
Definitely happen.
Definitely.
Yep.
Definitely. Definitely. However, I don't think blood would shoot out of the water.
Pure blood.
Pure blood to shoot out of the water.
With little chunks in it.
I don't know if it had little
there
chunks.
There was.
Was there? Okay. Little. Chunks of
chunky
face.
Blood.
Yeah. Face blood and chunks. I don't know how to say this.
Chunky but blood.
Chunky blood. Yeah. Shot out of the water and hit Phoebe and Cole in the face.
Yeah.
It's a gory movie. I get that. But.
That one crossed.
Yeah. That was a little bit ridiculous.
It's like, really?
Yeah. Now you're just stretching.
Yeah. That's.
Anyways. So. Yeah, they after they kill Max, they go to this dock where Phoebe's parents' cabin is, and that's where she was
like
actually heading.
Like, way up high on the cliff.
Way up high on the cliff. That's where she was heading in the first place. Mm-hmm. And then she ran out of gas, and, you know, whatever. We know what happens then. They park the boat next to this dock.
Yeah.
It's the only dock in sight.
Yeah.
They leave the lights on the boat. Mm-hmm. So no matter where, fog or not, you can see these lights. Okay?
Well, I mean, yeah.
Okay? So... Even if there wasn't fog, and they're looking around, it's not like it was super foggy. Like, the fog was, like, maybe 5 feet off of the water.
Yeah.
Right? And these boat lights were probably, like, I don't know, almost 10 feet off the water.
Whatever.
Okay? Anyways, they could definitely see these lights. There's four of them, right?
It's like a beacon.
It's like a beacon. And nobody else is along the water that we can see.
Yeah.
Because it's, like, the middle of the night.
That's also what kind of gives away their location, too, because it's the only dock with the only boat.
Yeah, that's running with its lights on still.
Yeah.
And then you look at that boat, and you're like, oh, that must be them. And you look up a little bit, and you see a cabin, and you're like, oh, that's probably where they are.
Yeah.
You know? It was stupid. Like, why would you leave the boat on? Like, you can jump out of the boat, reach in, turn the throttle on, and then just let the boat go.
Yeah. Because the way they pulled up to the dock, they definitely could have done that.
Yeah, it didn't make sense.
Although, I guess they wanted to leave it in case there was, like, a need to escape quickly.
I guess. But, I mean, if they're going to do that, why not turn the boat off and,
that's true.
Just make it look like
not
it's any
battery.
Other boat? No, not so much not waste battery, but, like, I mean, just not draw attention to yourself.
True.
You know?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, if nobody else is on the water, there's rare, like, there's not much on the water.
Mm-hmm. Oh, there's one more thing I want to talk about before we wrap it up.
Okay.
When they were in the cabin, actually two more things. Three more things. They were in the cabin, and Cole really had to go pee.
Oh, jeez, yeah.
Take it away, hon.
You sure?
Oh,
you want to do it?
Oh, I'm certain.
Okay, so... Cole had to pee in the closest
She's
bathroom.
Like, is it one or two?
Yeah, he's like, oh, if it was two, I would just kill myself.
If I had to poop in front of you.
I'd yeah. So she's like, oh, there's an outhouse outside. He's like, I'm not going outside. You nuts? And she's like, well, just go in the vase. Because there's like this vase on the fireplace. And he's like, okay, turn around and plug your ears.
Oh, no, first he tells her to turn around.
Oh, yeah, turn around.
He's like, can you cover your ears? I have a weak stream, but it's normal. The doctor says it's normal.
Yeah. So he starts peeing in the vase, and Phoebe has her eyes open, and, like, it just shows her face, right? Yeah. And she looks scared, and she's, like, backing up, and we think that, you know...
Somebody's there,
and showing up. And she, like, turns and scares Cole.
Boo!
And she's like, bah! Like that. And he whips around... Piss still flying, and sprays her in the face.
She's like, weak stream my ass.
Yeah.
While she's wiping pee out of her eyes.
Yeah, he's like, oh my god, I'm sorry. She's like, it's okay. Pee is sterile anyways. And she was totally cool with it.
Yeah.
I'm like, if somebody pissed on my face, I don't care if I scared them. I'd be like, what the hell, man?
What?
Hold it. Pinch it off. Oh god, that was pretty good.
Then... So they go into this underground bunk, her rabbit hole.
Yeah, because she wanted to be Alice from Alice in Wonderland.
And they get their freak on.
Mm-hmm.
And we get to watch skyrockets in sight, or skyrockets in flight, afternoon delight. But to what song was it? Ouch. Oh.
Jeez. It's the
jump
song.
Jump on it.
Yeah, it's called Jump On It.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's called Jump On It.
Look at me.
Yeah, well, you just sang the song. But...
Well, I mean, maybe I knew and I was just testing
it. Mm-hmm.
No.
So, yeah, it's we get the montage of trains going into tunnels and rockets taking off. And then at the very end, you see a guy getting shot out of a cannon.
And you're like, I know what just happened.
I see
what just happened. So because they did the
horizontal tango.
Yeah. Literally tango, Mambo. Because there was like a dance montage while they were doing it.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Which comes into play later, apparently. So they're at this sacrifice beachside retreat area with fire and creepy cow skull things.
Yeah.
Goat skull thing. I don't know.
It was weird. There were six of them.
Yeah.
There were six of these. It looked like a scarecrow, but massive.
Well, I mean, there were six people in the original one that she had to bring back from Limbo.
Yeah. No, there was four that she brought back from Limbo. Then B, and then that other girl.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Well, B wasn't even there.
B. Eventually. Anyway, so there was these little statue things.
Mm-hmm.
And they all come back to life, even though they were all killed at one point or another.
So Max, John, Sonya, and Allison.
Sure. They all pop out from these statue things,
mm-hmm.
and they're like, oh, we're back, kind of thing. And then Cole's like, whatever, just, oh. And then Cole's dad drugs him, takes him away, then Cole makes his way back.
Oh, yeah, that was beforehand. Yeah,
yeah. Beforehand.
Yeah,
so Cole makes his way back, and he's like, whatever, just take my blood, I'm done with this. Mm-hmm. And then she takes his blood, and they mix it all together, and he's like...
They mix it with Phoebe's blood.
Yeah, and then he's like, well, why aren't you, just do it now, and then... She's like, oh, we gotta wait for the whatever she called B. And then B comes walking out of the water, and Phoebe and Cole were like, B? I got goosies talking about that.
Yeah?
Yeah. And then, so then B comes, and then they like mix all the blood together, and then they all start drinking from the cup.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, all of them are drinking, and then B's, you know, takes the chalice or whatever. She's holding the chalice, and they're like, oh, this is awesome. I feel the power, blah, blah, blah. And then it kind of dies down. They're like, do you feel anything? And then John was, like, touching his forehead. He's like, I feel kind of warm.
Yeah, and then, B was, like, even before that, B was looking at them, and she didn't take a drink. She was going to, and she's like, And she had this feeling, and she didn't drink.
Yeah, she waited.
She waited.
And then they all just sat... Simultaneously combust? No.
One after the other. So, in the order that they drank.
No, how is it randomly
combust? Oh,
What's that phrase?
Spontaneous combustion.
Yeah, sure. That. They all just blew up one after another.
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
Yeah. And then they just kind of disappeared. And then, they're like, oh, what happened? And she's like, oh, your blood's not so innocent anymore. Or like, you're not so innocent anymore. Whatever she said. And basically she set them up.
Yeah. B set them up.
And another thing I thought was cool about this movie is that they showed us their reasons for signing this deal with the devil, selling their souls. So
they can get what they want.
Exactly.
Like be who they want to be.
Yeah.
And it's funny with B, yeah. Be who they want to be with B.
Yeah.
And it's funny that like they all had career aspirations.
Yeah.
Except for Max. Max just wanted to kill people.
Yeah. Yeah. That was, yeah.
Like he didn't want to be a quarterback like he was. Nope. He's like, you want to kill people, don't you? Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Just like that lady, that Karen that was in the food thing. She's like, and why aren't you wearing a shirt? And he was holding on to the deep fryer thing like he was going to throw it at her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That
would scald her.
It would suck, but it's not like throwing a whole bunch of oil at her. Like it would hurt.
Well, if he goes fast enough, the oil wouldn't, of the oil would drain out.
Yeah, that is true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyways.
And speaking of drinking the blood, what I thought was kind of weird was when each of them drank the blood from the goblet, there was no blood marks on their mouth.
Yeah, it was
and there was nothing on their teeth, nothing like that.
Yeah, there was, their teeth were perfectly white,
porcelain. Yeah, and then when they throw up the blood, their mouth is all bloody.
Yeah.
From that. Like, why wasn't
poor it planning.
Yeah, like, why wasn't it bloody before, like, when they first took a drink? They should have, it should have at least been on their face a little bit, and then like wiped it off.
Yeah.
I'm sorry for that sound, people.
I know that John cleaned the cup after Allison drank from it. He's like, I don't know where your mouth has been.
Yeah. I guess funny.
Yeah. Oh God, I love him. And he was trying to do the singing and he's like, Allison.
Oh my God. Yeah. He wanted to be a singer.
Y'all think I'm a bad singer?
Terrible. He was just screaming into the mic. Not even saying words. And he looked like a mix between Eddie Murphy from Delirious. Actually, he looked exactly like Eddie Murphy from Delirious.
And a little bit of Michael.
Yeah. But, it was bad.
Yeah, it was bad. It was so bad.
And then, also with the drinking, they didn't want B to drink the blood because they knew if she drank the blood, she would die.
And then she was, slowly raising it up to her face.
Yeah. They were just standing there, as close as you and me are. Why didn't they just smack the goblet out of her hands?
Oh no, B.
Yeah,
don't do it.
Don't drink it.
Stop.
Oh, you're drinking it.
Oh,
B. Just smack the goblet out of her hand.
Yeah.
Because once you smack it out of her hand, that blood is just done.
It's on the sand. It's done. It ain't coming back.
Yeah, I mean, unless she's going to eat sand. But I don't think she would. I mean, maybe. Who knows? Okay. But I mean, I guess they had to do that in order for her to be written off. But still, if you really don't want her to drink it that bad, smack it out of her hands.
Yep.
But, no, bitch.
Down, Bessie.
Yeah.
Down.
Yeah.
So the scene where Cole and Phoebe did it.
Oh, yeah.
There was that whole dance montage. And I think in that dance montage, he dipped her and gave her a kiss.
I can't remember.
I can't remember, but there was dancing between the two of them. They were dancing, and then
they were dancing.
And then at the end, take it. You.
Are you sure?
Oh yes, yeah.
Because I know you're real creeped out by it.
Yeah, I was, but that's why I want you to talk about it.
Give her.
Yeah.
So at the end, after B is gone and they're all safe and everything, Cole's dad shows up. Actually, Cole's dad showed up while B was disintegrating.
Yeah, and he's like, "What the fuck was that?"
Yeah. And they're like, oh, you saw it? Okay, good. You did see it? Yeah, how could I not see it? Anyways, so Cole takes Phoebe, and he's like, yeah, we'll watch this, and dips Phoebe down, and they start making out while Cole's dipping her. And
at first, the dad's awkward about it. He's
Yeah, and then he's like, I gotta take pictures of this. And then he, starts taking pictures with his phone of his kid making out with his girlfriend. That was weird.
That was so weird.
Not only would, hey, Dad, watch this, but then the dad taking pictures, what?
Mom's gonna want to see that. Yeah, no, why? Mom does not want to see that. Mm-hmm. And if
that's
she
her little boy.
Why? Why? No.
That's so much bad.
Yeah.
Is that bad?
It's real bad. Yeah, so other than that, I think that's just, that's enough for me. Ending it on that note, I think.
Yep, definitely.
Yeah. This is probably going to be our last Movie Monday review, at least with Andrew, for a while. I may or may not try to do some on my own. Most likely won't do videos, but I like talking to you when I'm not on camera, so I'm more comfortable.
You're beautiful on camera. You're beautiful all the time.
Well, you're just a very sweet man. Thank you. But he may or may not have to go away for work for a while. We're not 100% sure. So he may not be here on Monday. We are going to wrap this up before we ramble on anymore. Thank you guys for stopping by and listening to our podcast today.
Thank you
our
so
movie
much.
Review Monday. The next movie I think we're going to review when he is back. Whether it's in November or next week, we will see. I think it's going to be A Quiet Place. Is that what we determined?
I don't know. I'm not too sure.
It'll be a mystery.
Yeah. Not a mystery movie, but it's a mystery as to what it's going to be.
Yeah, because, I mean, if he's going to be back in a month, who knows what I'll feel like watching then? Mm-hmm. Who knows? Again, thank you so much for listening. I appreciate it, the time that you take out of your day just to listen to us ramble. With that all being said, this has been That Canadian Podcast. I am That Canadian. He's Andrew. And we'll see you next time.
I don't have a nickname.